Peace and all good from Franciscan Media. I'm Father Jim Sabak, and this is the Inbreaking of the Word. So we've come to the second Sunday of Lent, the beginning of our second week in this great Lenten season. This is the eighth day of Lent. Remember, just a little refresher again, we begin counting the 40 days on that first Sunday of Lent, which has led us now to the eighth day. Those days after Ash Wednesday are simply that. They're days after Ash Wednesday. They are to get us ready for the Lenten disciplines of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And so once we've got those all under our belt, at least an idea of them, we can now move fully into the Lenten season itself. So 1 week has passed, and now we go into the second week. Just like in that first week, the first Sunday of Lent is always Jesus in the desert being tempted. The second Sunday of Lent every year is the transfiguration of Christ on Mount Tabor, within the region of Galilee, with Peter, James, and John witnessing this. There's nothing in this reading, there's nothing in the prayers for this Sunday or even for these weeks. In the weeks, there may be some mention of penitence or whatever, but on these Sundays, these readings are not concerned with penitence, not concerned with confession, not concerned with, again, making sure that you're sorrowful for your sins, that you're begging God for forgiveness, that you are guilt-ridden and whatever it is because you are horrible human beings. There's nothing like that. There's nothing about a God coming with vengeance, coming with damnation, coming with punishment because humanity is such a mess. Again, the fact that this whole Lenten season has turned into this over centuries is a sadness because it was a season beginning of initiation, a season to prepare those who are coming into the church, coming into the faith, you know, for that final moment when baptism would be given to them. How we lost all of that, again, is a variety of reasons in history, but we need to reclaim that. We need to bring that back because our readings are focusing on, you know, the wonder and beauty of bringing people into our midst and what it means to be a people who attract people to us. Again, we are the greatest sign, or basically the greatest revulsion of what it means to be a faithful person. We can bring people because of our actions to faith. We can also turn them away because we are horrible faithful people. It's just like that. So this season of initiation, not a season of penitence. We have to focus in more on initiation than on penitence. And so again, this Sunday brings it home in so many ways because again, what Lent is trying to do is help us remember who we are and to who it is that we belong. You know, focusing upon penitence and sinfulness and whatever is nothing but navel gazing. We are looking down all the time, and we cannot look up, we cannot look out, we cannot see the wonder of God in creation around us. And that, again, is where we are called to return to, called to remember, called to re-engage, really, in our lives. And so, Transfiguration, in Luke's gospel, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John to this Mount Tabor, and upon it, he is revealed as a dazzling person. He is revealed in all his glory. His clothes become dazzling white. He becomes as bright as the sun. It's amazing. It's fantastic. And Moses and Elijah come and begin to talk to him. So again, the three individuals on this mountain. Peter, because, well, for Peter, James, and John, this is all too overwhelming. And Peter becomes nutsy and crazy, as he usually does, and basically wants to turn it into a circus sideshow with three tents. And you can put Moses in one, Elijah in one, Jesus in another. And people can come to visit and maybe even make money. That's how you make money, whatever it is. But again, it's not. What becomes important about this is what is said. You know, as the apostles are trying to, you know, fathom this and wrap themselves around it, the voice comes from heaven and says, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." No more, no less. An echo, basically, of Jesus' baptism. "This is my beloved son, again, on whom my favor rests." Now, what are we supposed to do with this son? Listen to him. Listen to him. And what are we listening about? Well, it's not about rules and regulations. It's not about more commandments. It's not about more things that the law has to tell us to do. Because again, that's the problem with the law. It tells us what not to do. It doesn't tell us how to make things better. This is where Christ again comes to help us make things better. And it's not about laying down new rules. It's about embracing our humanity and living it out as best we can. And so what are we supposed to listen to? Again, God's promises, which are abundant and which echo throughout creation. To be a person who was a catechumen, again, in the process of initiation, was not just a person who learned about faith and learned about the lessons about faith, but it was a person who was trained to hear the echoes. To hear the echoes of God in creation, echoes of love, echoes of mercy, echoes of hope, echoes of support, echoes of wonder and beauty, which again, the noise of the world, the noise of society can drown out so easily. Listen to Christ and hear those echoes once again. And what is the echo for today that we should memorize? Well, basically it goes back to that Genesis reading where Abraham makes the great covenant with God, or God makes the great covenant with Abraham. Again, there's this great sacrifice and a flaming brazier, you know, a torch moves between the two pieces of the sacrifice. And out of that, God establishes with Abraham a relationship that is not about servitude. It's not about what is it that you owe me or what is it that you can do to make me more pumped up to be a God. Basically, it is about what I can do for you, God says. If you just let me be your friend, if you just follow me, if you just trust me, if you just let me guide you into something new and wonderful, descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky, the sand of the seashore, and that basically your name will be remembered forever. And again, I give you this great land from the Wadi of Egypt to the Euphrates. I give all of this to you because I am a God who gives. And I want you to want this to be given and to include all people who will become your descendants, not just by blood, but by faith and belief. We are descendants of Abraham because of that. Do we listen to this? Do we understand this? Is our job not then to bring as many people into this community of faith as possible? Again, people thought the parousia, the second coming of Christ, would happen first at Easter, not in Advent, but at Easter. And what more important thing to do than to bring as many people we can through the waters of baptism to be a part of greeting this Christ when he returns. Philippians, our second reading today, kind of echoes that again, which Paul in writing to the Philippians are asking them to remember who they are and to act out of the reality and truth of who they are. They are a new people, a new creation, because they dare to believe in something different than what the world throws at them, than what their society and culture are throwing at them. And to remember that even in their difficulties, Philippians goes into this great statement that becomes a part of an insert at funerals in Eucharistic Prayer 3, that God will change our mortal bodies to become like his in glory and wipe away every tear from our eyes, because we shall see our God as we are and become like our God for all ages. That is the promise that God gives us, and that is what we are supposed to remember. It's not about, again, keeping God at bay one more year, one more time, or one more season by saying, look at me, I'm a terrible sinner, look at me, a terrible sinner, look at me, a terrible sinner. God knows that. God knows that, and we know that. What we need to do is get beyond that, is to grow in our understanding of who it is that we can be, that we must be, not just for ourselves, not just for our church, but for this world. To do that, we live out the truth of our identity as believers in this world. And Lent is about asking us again, once again, why is it that we believe, and what will help us to believe even more deeply? A continued blessed Lent for all of you. And from Franciscan Media, may the Lord give you his peace.